Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Paul Lewis is the policy director at something called the Eno Center for Transportation. Talk to me about this, Paul. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
What's your center? What's the Eno Center?
So we are a nonprofit independent think tank based in D.C. We're actually celebrating our 100th year as an organization. We look at all things transportation and try to come up with the best path forward in terms of solutions to improving the system.
Are you all political in nature? Do you favor one side or the other?
No, we're nonpartisan. In fact, our founder, William Eno, was the inventor of the stop sign and the first maker of a rules of the road over 100 years ago, and founded our organization as an independent one to look at these kinds of issues.
I didn't know that the stop sign needed to be invented, but I guess we didn't have stop signs before we had cars, huh?
It's true.
Okay, so talk to me about this legislation. Am I reading that correctly? How the heck is that in there? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's there's a provision in the infrastructure bill that the president signed earlier this week that is going to require advanced drunk and impaired driving prevention technology to be standard equipment on all new passenger and motor vehicles.
I'm amazed. I mean, 2026 is four model years away. They can do this that quickly?
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting process. So the bill says that this needs to be a passive system. So it's not like you're going to sit in your car and have to blow into a breathalyzer to start it every time. This is going to be something that detects the presence of alcohol in the ambient air of the cabin. And if that's the case, right, then it would either prevent or limit motor vehicle operation. How it actually works is going to be a process we'll see that gets developed over the next 2 to 3 years through a rulemaking where USDOT will work with stakeholders and auto manufacturers and consumers to develop a system that works. And then once that happens, they'll issue a final rule and then give automakers, I think, 2 to 3 years to put that as standard technology on all automobiles.
Go back to the first thing you said. So you don't have to blow into a device, which people sometimes do if they've got an arrest and a conviction for driving under the influence. So how would it know if I'm drunk then?
Yeah, so they haven't specified the technology. That's kind of up to the rulemaking. But I think a lot of people assume that it's going to be in one of these kind of passive sniffers. In a lot of states, police will use a flashlight when they're checking drivers, and the flashlight has this thing called a passive sniffer that can analyze basically the air that people are exhaling and give them an indication as to whether they're intoxicated, and are fairly accurate. And so you can imagine something sitting maybe right behind your steering wheel that that does that. And you know, I think if you haven't been drinking alcohol, there's going to be, you wouldn't even notice assistance there.
If a passenger is drunk, will it make the car inoperable?
That's a good question. I think that that's something that they're going to work out in the rulemaking. There could be some kind of override system where you do have to maybe put your thumb onto a pad or something to indicate that, yes, you, the driver, are okay, even if your passenger is not.
Well, that doesn't sound infallible then, doesn't it? I mean, I could see a switcheroo in place. Not that, I mean, why would you want the drunk person to drive? But I mean,
right.
if one of you is sober and one of you is not, and the machine is picking up one of you, how does it know who's driving and who's not? But I guess this is a start. I don't know. I don't know why I'm a little leery about this, but I'm worried about whether or not it in fact works, what the cost is that people are going to have to bear, and is this some measure of overreach on the government's part?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a balance, right? 10,000 people die every year because of drunk drivers. And that's about one person every hour in this country alone. And just like with seatbelts or airbags, right? Yeah. The the technology advances to a point where the government feels confident that this is something that we can require as standard equipment, goes through a rulemaking process. There's some pushback usually at the beginning, but eventually, now you can't imagine a car that wouldn't have seatbelts or airbags.
Yeah. How about if I'm high on drugs and I'm not exhaling alcohol?
Yeah, that's an issue, but I don't think that's something that this would necessarily be able to detect.
Yeah,
this is specifically targeted toward alcohol.
Yeah, no kidding. And then, John, what happens? I'm just reading some text messages. And again, why do we do this? Why do we take something that is going to save maybe 10,000 lives a year and say, well, this is wrong or that's wrong? I mean, maybe they'll get it right. But, John, what happens if you are drunk and riding in an Uber? The air would be full of alcohol. I guess it's the same if you're just a passenger. I mean, heck, if you had a designated driver and you're all drunk in the car and you're doing the right thing, you've got a designated driver, are you all going to stink up the car with your breath and the machine won't work? So then you kind of alluded to maybe the driver does a thumbprint or something to override it, huh?
Yeah, so I would imagine there would be some kind of system in place to make sure that as long as the driver is sober, that they would be able to, shuttle home passengers that may not be able to drive.
And I guess here again, here's another thing that it won't do. If the problem is that you're dangerous because you're texting while driving, this ain't going to fix that. They may have a system for that someday soon, like disable your devices. But in the meantime, the unsafe texter, the distracted driver, is not going to be impacted by this, are they?
That's correct. This is specifically targeted towards alcohol impaired drivers.
Do you like this idea, Paul? You think this is a good plan?
I think that we'll see the details, right? And the devil's always in the details with the rulemaking and how they roll it out. But I mean, this is clearly something that Congress wanted to see passed both chambers of the House and Senate with bipartisan support as a key provision. So, I think it's one really aiming at the fact that 10,000 people every year are dying, and this could prevent 90%+ of those at least.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I'm glad we found you guys. So this is the policy director at the ENO Center for Transportation, Paul Lewis. I'm going to let you go, Paul, but just give me the headline. What else do you guys study or are you putting opinions out about right now?
Yeah, so we look at all different modes of transportation, aviation, highways, public transit, bike scooters, everything in between, and try to kind of understand what the issues are and understand practical ways to move forward. So we've been looking at, the high cost of building public transit in this country, right? And what are, if you look at other countries, the U.S. plays a huge premium for building things, particularly transit, and how do we bring that down? We've been looking at aviation and some of the big issues facing the aviation sector. And how they, navigate, especially in a post-pandemic world. In transportation, the list goes on and on because it affects pretty much everything we do.
Here in Chicago. Paul Lewis, okay, we'll be in touch. Thanks for your help today, Paul.
Anytime. Thanks so much.